I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Genesis, chapter 29. The 29th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we'll commence to read at the verse number 1. Genesis chapter 29, and the verse number 1. Then Jacob went on his journey, and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And when he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. It came to pass that when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was of her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father, and it came to pass that when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Behold, thou art my brother. Shouldst not thou not therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, the younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love that he had for her. We end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious, infallible truth. This is a wonderful passage of God's precious word, and I pray that God will write his word upon our hearts as we consider the power of love. A teacher in a day school class once asked the class, which was the more important, the sun or the moon? The class thought for a few moments, and the little boy put up his hand, and he said, Please, miss, I have the answer. The teacher said to him, Well, son, what's the answer? Which is more important, the sun or the moon? The little boy said, with a smile upon his face, Why, miss, it is the moon. Oh, she said to him, Son, why do you think that the moon is more important than the sun? Well, he said, Miss, the moon gives us light when we need it most. You see, the sun just gives us light in the daytime when we don't really need it. You know, sometimes we put wrong values upon things. My friends, I want us to speak upon the value of the power of love. The power of love. Because in the story here, we have an amazing story of love. It says in the scriptures that Jacob, verse 20, he served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. I always remember the words of a little chorus or a little verse that I heard when I was a child. It's not a chorus, it's a song. A mother's love's a blessing. No matter where you roam, keep her when she's living, for you'll miss her when she's gone. Love her as in childhood, though she be old and grey, for you'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay. A mother's love is a blessing. A father's love is a blessing too. Thank God for a father's love that stays and steadies there in the home. It's not necessary in the words that is said, but it is that love that is manifested in that home. I know as a parent, there's nothing like a love of a child. You know, whenever your day is tough and they're going through hard times, that little one comes and puts their arms around your neck and says, Daddy, I really love you. Friends, somehow it seems to make the day brighter. Somehow it seems to make the load lighter. Because when that child looks into your face and gives you a kiss on the cheek and says, Daddy, I want to tell you, I love you. My friend, the power of love. You know, when we read the Word of God, there's some amazing records of love in the Scriptures. I think whenever Isaac's heart was breaking at the death of his mother, the thing that stayed him in the hour of death was his love for Rebekah. Because the Bible tells us that when Rebekah came to him and was brought by the eldest servant of his father, and even though Sarah had died, he took her into his tent, and it says he loved her. I think of the love that Jochebed had for Moses. Do you remember how that a mother would look after that little child and realize that this little child was under the sentence of death? And you know, she made that little basket, to put that little basket, and then she would commit her child and place the little one in the basket. And I can hear her pray as she takes little Moses and she weaves that little basket first of all, and then she puts her child into it and puts her child into the water in that little basket. I want to tell you, she had a heart of love. She was concerned about her child because the boys in that land, the Jewish boys, the Hebrew boys, were under the sentence of death. I often think of the story of Hannah. You know, the Bible tells us Hannah, she brought every year to the temple. You remember Hannah brought her son Samuel to the temple, and she left him there with the old man Eli. But I want you to notice that every year Hannah would come and she would have in her hand a little gift. She had a coat. And I believe that mother made that coat. And every year she'd bring another little coat, realizing she was doing it. God, her child was there serving in the temple. And she gave him, she lent him to God, friend. She didn't regret what she did in giving him to God. But this mother loved her son so much. She loved him so much to not only hand him over to the Lord, friend, but she loved him to take care of those little things and bringing her coat, that coat, to her son year by year. I think of David's love. I remember in the Scriptures it tells us about a rebellious son. His name was Absalom. And when Absalom died, friend, in his rebellion, David cried with a broken heart, and this is what he said. He said, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God that I had died for thee." He would gladly have given up his life for his son, because he loved even his rebellious son. And maybe there's parents listening to me tonight, friend, and your children are breaking your hearts. And yet there's something that is in your heart that you cannot let them go because it's the power of your love. I often think of Jairus. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was there and he heard the Savior was passing that way. And Jairus came to the Lord Jesus Christ because he had a little daughter who was sick and she was close to death. And you know, Jairus, even though he was a ruler of the synagogue, he got past his religious, the thinking and thoughts of his religion, and he realized there was only one could help his dying child, and his name was Jesus. And he went and he cried that Jesus would come and would touch his child. I think there's no more powerful story of love than the story of the prodigal son. The boy that went out into the far country and spent all that his father gave him, and he wasted his substance, the Bible said. He did it in riotous living. He lived for himself. He lived for sin. He lived with harlots.
He never thought of his father. Let me tell you, my friend, there never was a day that that boy was out of his father's love. You say, how do you know that his father loved him, friend? I'll tell you. When the boy came, having come to the end of himself, and he came and made his way home, he was a long way off from home, and yet his father saw him. How did his father see him? Because the father was waiting for him. And the father ran, not the son ran to the father, but the father ran to the son. And he threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him and he said, rejoice with me, for I found my son that was lost. And I see a great story of the love of God for us. But friend, when I think of all of those loves in the scriptures, all of those pale into insignificance, when we think of God's love, the word of God says it in John 3:16, for God so loved us. There is no love like the love of Jesus. The love of a mother, the love of a father, the love of a friend, the love of a child. Those are wonderful things, but oh, the love that God had for us in Jesus Christ, that he gave his only begotten son. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was walking the scene of time. There was a young man came running down the dusty pathway one day. He was a rich young ruler. He had everything that money had to buy, but he hadn't contentment in his heart. And he falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus Christ spoke to that young man because he knew that the God of that young man's life was his riches. And he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the Lord Jesus said, after listening to that young man who said that he had fulfilled the commandments, Jesus said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Because the Lord looked right into his heart and saw just exactly what was wrong. The God that was in the throne of his life was his possessions. The young man walked away from Jesus that day. And the Bible says that Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. I see the Lord Jesus standing at a graveside one day. It's the grave of a friend. I see him as he comes to Mary and Martha, and he stands at the side of that grave there at Bethany, outside the city of Jerusalem, and I see the Savior as he stands at the grave and he weeps. And this is what the Holy Ghost records, what they said. See how he... Friends, as we come to God's Word tonight, I want us to consider an Old Testament story about the power of love. It's found in Genesis chapter 29, the passage that we read together here. It's the story of a man called Jacob. And Jacob loved a woman called Rachel. The power of love. Now this story is a very fascinating story. It's just like the journey of life. It takes many twists and turns. Every one of us have to admit that the journey of life takes many twists and turns. But here we find that there is something that is in Jacob's heart for this woman that he meets. It's an unconditional love that's in his heart. And I believe it gives us a type of that love that Jesus Christ has for you and me. And the type of the love that Jesus has for his church, his blood-bought people. When I think of the love here in this story, friend, and then I think of the love that Christ had for me, I think of the change, first of all, that love provokes. I want us to think of verses 9 to verses 15. Let me paint you the story. Up to this time, Jacob has lived what you could call a sheltered life. In many ways, it was not only a sheltered life, it was a useless life. Because it seems that everything that he had was handed to him. He didn't seem to be a worker. It doesn't record much about his work. Now, he had a brother. His name was called Esau. Now, his brother was known as to be a cunning hunter. Natural fact, Genesis chapter 25 tells us he was a man of the field. But the Bible tells us that Jacob dwelt in tents. But there was a characteristic in Jacob's life, friend, that would cause him a lot of pain. And something that had to be dealt with in his heart, if his heart was going to be right with God. There was something that was in Jacob's life that the Holy Ghost records for us. He was a deceiver. He was a deceiver. He gained much of what he had through deceit. And I'm sure maybe there's somebody in your heart and you think, well, you know, I know somebody like that. I want to tell you, God can change them. God can change them. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ can change them, because the power of God changed the life of Jacob in the circumstances that God brought into his life. Now we read in Genesis chapter 25, there was a day whenever Esau returned from the fields, this mighty hunter returned from the field. And I know that I can remember as a child, there was a place that you, I think the place I was more hungry than anywhere else, it was out in the field. I can always remember as a child, whenever we'd be putting up bales and putting up the hay and doing the work in the field, you were actually starving, you were looking, and you see when you saw them come in the distance with a basket, and you knew it was feeding time, I want to tell you this, it was one of the most precious moments, and I'll tell you, sandwiches never tasted more wonderful like that. It was a real feast, out there in the field. Now I want you to notice, here's a boy, he's returning from the field, and the Bible tells us naturally he's hungry. And he comes to Jacob. Now Jacob dwells in tents, and the Bible tells us that Jacob was boiling stew, as it were. He was having pottage. He was boiling pottage. It was stew. And whenever Esau came in, he was faint. And therefore he asked his brother for some of the stew. But his brother decided that he could have it, but he would have it at a price. He was always thinking of himself. And so he selfishly asked Esau for his birthright, for that bowl of stew. Now, whenever he was so hungry, I believe that Esau didn't care about anything as long as his hunger was satisfied. And so therefore, in a moment, friend, he agreed to sell his birthright. Now, you say to me, Jacob can't be blamed for that, because that transaction was something that Esau agreed to. Let me say this to you. I believe it revealed the selfishness of Jacob's heart. I believe it revealed, here was his brother was hungry. He would not give his brother a bowl of stew. But Jacob says, you'll get it, but you'll pay for it. And the price you'll pay for it, it's your birthright. He put a big price upon that bowl of stew, friend. And then we find in Genesis chapter 27, we find Jacob once again. Now this time his mother's involved in the scene. And his mother loved Jacob, and so therefore we find that she pretends, and they enter into a scheme to deceive the blind father, because Isaac was blind and he couldn't see. And so therefore they would deceive the father out of the blessing that was going to the firstborn. Now God had promised that the older would serve the younger. And Jacob could have waited on God, but he wasn't willing to wait on God. He decided he would get it by deceit. And therefore he would run ahead of God. And so deceitfully he deceived his father. He pretended that he was Esau. He even got the skin of the animal and he put it around his neck, because his brother was a hairy man and he wasn't. And the father would reach out, and the father in his blindness would reach out his hand, and he would touch him around the neck. And he felt the hair. And you know, the father knew there was something wrong, because that voice was the voice of Jacob, but the body seemed to be the body of Esau. And the father gave him the blessing. And friend, once again, we find that he's a deceitful son. And because of this, Esau hates his brother and has a bitterness against him. And it was for that reason that Jacob has to leave home. His mother schemes another plan, that he would go to her brother's place. And he would leave home. In reality, he was running for his life. Now, of course, I must say something about this. Because he learned this deception, I believe, in the house of his father and mother. You see, in reality, this was not necessarily a very happy home that these boys were brought in, because there was a divided love. The Bible tells us that his father loved Esau and his mother loved Jacob. There was a divided love. And because of this, there was a tension in the home. There was a divided affection. Now, the Word of God tells us in Genesis chapter 26, there was a famine in the land. Let's go back to it for a moment. And during that time of famine, it says in verse number 1, Genesis chapter 26, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went on to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abram thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abram obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my law. And the Bible says that Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now, where was that, friend? It was the borderland between Canaan and Egypt. The Word of God in verse 8 says, it came to pass that when he had been there for a long time, he spent a long time out there. And you know, friends, you know what that speaks to me? It speaks to me about a believer who's out of communion with God, and he sins there. And he commits a sin because he has to deceive. He becomes a deceiver. Now, sadly, Abram was a deceiver. He deceived because of his beautiful wife, Sarah. He says, she's my sister. Because he was afraid of losing his own skin when he was in a tight situation. And now we find that his son Isaac deceives. And in that home, now we find that Jacob deceives. Listen, there's a warning here. Father and mother, in God's name, you be very careful what way you walk, because remember, your children are watching you. You remember, your children will follow in your footsteps. Just be very careful what you do and where you go. Because your children will follow after you to those places. And parents, don't you think that you can be one way and the family will be different? Because I want to tell you, here we find that this lad Jacob, he was brought up in a home where there was deception, and he himself became a deceiver. Now, when you move to chapter 28 of the book of Genesis, Jacob experiences a marvelous experience of the grace of God. He's left home. He's on his way to his uncle's home. He's left home. I'm sure he's brokenhearted. He's left the comforts of home, and he's hounded and he's haunted by the fear of his angry brother. And so he goes on and goes on, trying to keep as much distance between him and his brother, who might catch up upon him and take his life. Came night time, and he lay down exhausted upon the ground. There's no pillow there. There's just a stone. And as he lays his head upon that stone, there God visits him. And right down to where this fugitive lay, the ladder came, and right to where God was, the ladder reached. And God appeared to Jacob that night. And in the morning time, he made a vow unto God. And then he continues in his journey. You see, I believe that he has been met by God that night, and there starts a change in this person's life. Now, whenever you come to chapter 29, you find that he goes in, it says in verse 1, Jacob went on his journey and came in the land, into the land of the people of the east. There's nothing exciting happens in the rest of the journey. He arrives in this land, friend. And it passes without instance, and then we read that he comes into the land which he sought. Something I would say in passing is this: there's nothing by chance. Whenever he arrived there, he saw in the field a well. And when he looked there at that well, there were three sets of flocks that were waiting at the well. They were there not by chance. You see, there are no chances with God, friend. There are no chance happenings with God. There's no chance delays with God. There's no chance meetings with God. There's no chance losses with God. There's no chance anything with God. It's all by divine appointment. And God was working out this plan to be a blessing to this deceiver, to change his life that he would never be the same again. And so he comes up to the well, and these flocks and these people are gathered round the well, and there's a big stone upon the well, and he sees these men, and he walks up and he asks them who they are, and they said they're from Haran. And then he says to them, well, he says, do you know Laban, verse number 5, chapter 29, know ye Laban the son of Nahor? And they says, yes, we know him. And friend, just shortly after that, they said, you know, not only do we know him, but you know, his daughter, Rachel, will be coming shortly to the well. Because she brings her father's flocks to the well. And so, in the providence of God, no sooner had they said that, that look there in the distance was Rachel coming with the flocks. Of course, when he comes to the well, something wonderful happens, friend, because this deceitful man called Jacob comes face to face with a power that day that would never be the same again. He came face to face with a power, listen to me, the power of love. And he was changed. Because little did Jacob know that day that from that moment his life would never be the same again. He was approaching the place where his mother's family dwelt in that field. And there Rachel approaches. And something happens. Let's just look at it. It says there in verse number 9, and while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's flock, for she kept them. And it came to pass that when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flocks of Laban his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. I wonder, do you notice the change in behavior here? Because something is happening. Because this selfish young man, friend, let me tell you, he gets up from where he is sitting by the well, and when he sees Rachel, he gets up and he removes a stone from the well and he waters the flock. He's not thinking of himself anymore. Because up to this moment, let me tell you, he'll hardly lift a finger for anyone except there's a price. But there's no talk about payment now. There's no talk about anything else. We find that he wasn't asking for something in return because he got up and he removed the stone, friend, and he did the work himself. And he fed, or he watered Laban's flocks. And after he finished the work, he kissed Rebekah and he lifted up his voice. And he wept. And he explained to her who he was. And she runs and she tells her father who had come. And the father comes out to meet him. And the father invites him to stay. There's something taking place in Jacob's life. Rather than that deceitful, selfish, lazy lad who would hardly lift a finger, friend, immediately he sees Rachel. He removes the stone. He waters the flocks. There's a transformation. I believe that that transformation started way back in chapter 28 when the Lord met him. I believe the Lord dealt with his life. Let me tell you, friend, the Lord needs to deal with our hearts. Because, be quite honest, of ourselves, we're selfish. Of ourselves, so many of men today are out for self. They'll never lift a finger unless it's for their own benefit, unless it's for their own ends. There's usually a price tag put upon it. The Lord can change your heart. God can take away the heart of stone, and God can give you a heart of flesh. God can remove that selfishness from your heart, and God can make you useful. Are you working for the Lord, friend? those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you loving Him? Are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Here was a young man and he had a checkered past. And yet we see something wonderful working in his heart. I stand on this pulpit tonight and I say this before God. I thank God that God loved me. Oh yes, far beyond that I ever loved Him, God loved me. Away back in eternity, before the stars were ever put in place, before God ever formed the earth and the world, thank God, away back in the heart of God, there was a love for me. For He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And love is going to change Jacob's life. Let me tell you, God in His love can change your life. You may have come into this meeting tonight unsaved. You may have come into this gathering bound and fettered in your sin, and you're living for self and sin, and you're on your way to hell, but God can change your life. God can break the chains that bind you. He can set you gloriously, wonderfully free. He can give you love for the things of God that you've never, ever experienced before. Yes, something happened that day. You and I pray that on this 20th day, or on this day, the 17th day of the month of May, that this night you'll be changed. That God will change. That God will transform your life, never to be the same again. Our sister Lisa sang the wee hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God you can be changed tonight by the power of the grace and the love of God. When I think of God's love for me, yes, I think of indeed that change that love provokes, but secondly, that cost that love pays. From verses number 15 to verse 19, you read that story, friend, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldst not thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters, the elder was Leah, the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed or weak-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. See, at the end of the month, he stayed in the house of Laban for a month, friend. That's what it says in verse 14. And he abode with him a space of a month. And at the end of the month, and during that month, Jacob was willing to work. He worked in Laban's house. He wasn't willing to be a scavenger. He wasn't willing just to be a layabout. No, he was willing to work. And you know, at the end of that month, and he was still there, Laban approaches him, and he said, tell me, he says, what shall your wages be? Tell me, what do you need for what you're working? You need something for your work. You know, what a change. When I think about that, what shall my wages be? This deceitful man in the past would have said, now here's the price. And he would have known that Laban was quite a rich man, and therefore he would have asked a big price. Friend, he wasn't concerned about those things. In actual fact, first of all, I think about, he didn't know much about work. Never mind wages. But now he's willing to work. And Laban comes to him, and you know, nothing was a problem in his life. Because the Bible says that he loved Rachel. He was glad to work. And this is what he says in verse 20. He says, Jacob, or verse 19, it is better that I give her to thee, or rather verse 18, Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee. I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Yes, he was putting great price upon her, but it was costing him this thing. It wasn't what he could get out of it. Because let me tell you, my friend, love doesn't undervalue anything. Love, real love, understands the value of everything. And you know, if you and I could just realize just how much God loved us and the cost of God's love, the cost that God was willing to pay whenever he loved us. Here's a young man, and he was willing to serve Laban 7 years for the love of this woman. The Word of God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Think of the price of what God gave. God gave his darling Son. God gave his only begotten Son, and he sent him to a cross. He left the glories and adorations of heaven to come into a world where he was despised and rejected of men. He became a man of sorrows and became acquainted with our grief. And then God laid upon him the iniquity of us all, the cost that love pays. Cost of love. And Laban said, tell me, what's your wages to be? And he said, let me say to you, Laban, I love Rachel so much that I will serve you 7 years for her. It's not what I can get, but I will serve thee. It's what I can get. We live in a world, to be honest, when we're so selfish that man's out what to get what he can get. See, when love steps in, friend, it's not what you get. And you see, when you really love the Lord, friend, I'll tell you this, it changes your life because you want to serve him. I will serve thee, the wee chorus says, because I love thee. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. And let me tell you, Jacob so loved Rachel. He said, I'll gladly sweat. I'll gladly serve, I'll gladly work 7 years. Because I love her. The cost that love pays. What's so easy to say, I love the Lord, but friend, let me ask you, are you serving him? What have you done for the Lord, child of God? Can I ask you this question? What have you done for the Lord since last week? What service have you given? Oh, you sing, my Jesus, I love you. What service have you given to Jesus? Last week. How many lost souls have you tried to reach? How many of those that have fallen have you tried to lift? How much time have you prayed that God would send us a gracious movement of his Spirit and stir this place and fill these seats? How many souls have you gone out after to invite to God's house? To win them for Christ. Oh, it's easy to say, Lord, I love you. But he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the command and commission that Christ gave to his people was this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And friend, you and I should be looking for opportunities. As walking through the show, I was walking through the show at Balmoral the other day. A big man stopped me. And to be honest, I couldn't remember him from Adam. He said to me, Mr. McRae, you got me my first house. He was a police officer. He had to move in the security situation. And he said, I've nowhere to go. And he said, listen, you got me my first house. And he says, I'll never forget it. He says, you know, I'm not very religious. But he says, I'll tell you this, I know that there's somebody looking after me. And he started to go over instances when he was very near to death. And then he said it again, I'm not very religious. I said, I want to tell you, sir. You said to me, and I was praying, Lord, please give me the opportunity. Give me the opportunity. You see, friend, his, you got me first house. He was glorifying me. I wanted to speak to him about the Lord. I said, friend, you said that you knew somebody's been looking after you. He says, aye, that somebody's God. God has been good to you, and you said you're not very religious. I want to tell you, the only one you need to know is the Lord. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, let me tell you, I will serve thee because I love thee, the cost that love gladly pays. And I think of God's love for me. In the while I was yet a sinner, lost, condemned, unholy, unclean, Christ Jesus, God's Son, died for me. He shed His precious blood for me. He took my place upon Calvary's cross. And here we find Jacob says, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel. Brings me third thought, the commitment that love produces. Look at this, friend. Verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Oh, it's easy to talk about it. This is walking the walk. This is a real thing. Let me be quite honest, friend. There are some people want the Lord as a security blanket. They like the comfort of saying, well, now, I've trusted Jesus Christ and I'll never be in hell. But don't ask them to do anything. Don't ask them to commit their lives fully to Christ. Oh, I want to tell you, there are people tonight and they have nothing else, only a profession. And they have the profession without possession. And they haven't the reality of knowing God's pardon and God's forgiveness because there's no genuine repentance. It was easy for Jacob to say, I will serve thee, Laban. I'll serve you for 7 years. Let me ask the question, friend. I wonder, will Jacob's love be enough to make him remain faithful to the promise? Will he get restless and want to go back home? Will he grow tired of the work? And will he give up? Look at the commitment. Verse 20. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had of her. I want to tell you, this wasn't hard labor. This was a joy. It was a joy. You see, nothing was a burden anymore. Nothing was a trial anymore. Because he loved her. He really loved her with all his heart. Every day when he looked upon her, I want to tell you, it was a joy to be in her presence. It was a thrill to him. Just to look on Rachel's face as she walked among the tents. Those 7 years, friend, notice it says, they were like a few days. No sad to say there are people tonight, and you ask them to do anything. Sometimes parents, I'm sure, get exasperated. That's a big word. But they get exasperated because they tell the family to do something, and then they wait. And they tell them to do it again, and then they wait. And friend, you just wonder. And then they get up. And they put one foot past the other, and you think they're nearly going to die on the way. Go at it. I want to tell you, nothing was a problem here. I'll serve thee, Lord Jesus, because I love you. I want to tell you, friend, if you fall in love with Jesus Christ, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend, and you commit your life to Him, I want to tell you, it'll not be a shallow love. It's the ocean of the deep love of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a real commitment.
I'll go with him all the way. You willing to go with God all the way, friend? Just let the Lord have his way in your life. You see, there's the commitment that love produces. Lastly, there's the challenges over which love prevails. Look at verse 21. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. He has served us 7 years, and now he just longs for his bride. You read the rest of the story, friend, and you find that this deceiver has a lesson to learn. Because you see, there's still things in his heart that need to be put right. And so we find that Laban had two daughters. One was called Leah, she was weak-eyed, and the other was Rachel, and she was so beautiful. And Jacob had asked for Rachel. But you see, already in Jacob's life, he had disrespected the rights of Esau, his firstborn brother, and through deceit had robbed Esau of the blessing. And now he's going to be conned himself. Because Laban, instead of giving him Rachel, he gives him Leah. The law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. You see, before he left home, he left because of a deceitful heart. The deception of his heart has got to be dealt with. He's going to reap what he sows. But I want to tell you this. Thank God, whenever we witness a story, there's something happens in the story, friend. It doesn't end like this. Love prevails. Thank God, love takes him beyond the summit of the highest mountain. Love takes him right down into the deepest valley and brings him through. Thank God, love removes every obstacle on the way because love prevails. God deals with this deceitful heart of his. Thank God, finally, he works 7 further years. No, love will have its challenges. Parents, you know what that is. There are times the son or daughter that you love the most will break your heart. The love that you have for your children that will be challenged over and over again, but thank God, love will bring you through. And love will take you through the deepest valley experience. For the Bible tells us love suffereth long and is kind. Thank God, love's patient. Love wins. Love changed. As I finish tonight, let me tell you, love can change your heart. The love of God. The love of God can reach your sinful soul tonight. And God can change your life that you'll never be the same again. Let me tell you, that day after God met with Jacob that night, and yes, God appeared unto him, and God spoke to him, and God promised he would make him a great nation, and in him the nations of the earth will be blessed. And something happened to start the wonderful work in Jacob's heart. Thank God. God worked until he produced a father of the nations of Israel. Because out of Jacob there came the 12 tribes. And God fulfilled his promise. God's love. Would you yield to love of God tonight? God can change your life. He came to that well that day, not realizing what God had in store. You've come to God's house today. And God can change you now, friend. You yield to the love of God. You yield your heart to Christ. God can change your life. He can give you joy, unspeakable and full of glory. If you only let go, friend, listen, in God's name, take the hands off the reins of your life. Take your hand off the wheel tonight. Hand your life over to Christ. Hand them over to Him. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. Commit your heart to Him and say, Lord, I'll serve You by Your grace and by Your power from this night forward. And thank God your life will be changed and it'll give you a joy you'll never experience and you could never experience outside of Christ. For He maketh all things new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things yield to His love tonight. Fall at His feet. And receive Him for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, You know the hearts of the people in this congregation. You know the burdens they carry. You know, Lord, the mountains that they have to ascend up and the valleys they've got to descend into. But God, You can bring them through. Thank You, Lord, for providing for Your people an eternal salvation. Thank You, Lord, we're not, it's not us holding on to You, but Lord, we bless Thee that You're holding on to us. Oh God, You'll never leave us. And You'll never forsake us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, touch hearts tonight in this meeting. Change lives in this meeting. That they'll never be the same again. Save the lost. Oh God, lift up the fallen. Let them run to You, Lord Jesus. Let them come back to You. The prodigal come home and say, Lord, oh God, forgive me for my straying. But now I'm coming home. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to sing one verse. Just as I am without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come to Christ tonight? You say, I'm broken and beaten. Then come to Jesus, friend. You say, I'm bruised with a journey of life. Come to Jesus. He can bind up your broken heart. You say, I'm sinful. Praise God, Christ receiveth sinful men. Come to Jesus. And He'll cleanse you from your sin, just as you are. Come to Him. And if there's one tonight as we sing the little verse, just lift the hand of invitation, indication above your head. Preacher, God invites me. Tonight I'll come. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am an oath, but that Thy blood was shed for me. Is there one tonight in the closing second of our meeting? Just yield to the love of Christ. Say, God, take over my life. Here I am, I'm coming to You, I'm giving it to You. Broken, heal me. Sinful, save me. It's the one tonight, just lift that hand above your head. In a moment I'll be in the minister's room, come and speak to me there. Please don't go away. Pray that God will just break your heart at the foot of the cross where He manifested His love for sinners like you and me. Heavenly Father, may this night be a night of salvation, a night of restoration. May this be a night, our God, that men and women, young people will run to Christ and trust in Him and be saved and satisfied. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.